One Pixel Jump for July 18th, 2010. This is probably going to be one of the least organized podcasts we ever do. I sort of hope so, because I'd like to try and actually know what we're going to talk about before we start doing the podcast. But because we went on a short vacation, a little bit less time for planning.
Yeah.
I mean, we just recently picked up BioShock from that secondhand store. To you out there, internet, I love secondhand media stores. I love to buy old used games and movies and game movies. If I could find a secondhand store that was selling Street Fighter, that would be like a godsend to me.
Wait. Game movies? FMVs?
Yeah. No, those are movie games.
Oh, so you're talking about games like Heavy Rain.
Yeah. Although, I don't know. Even when Heavy Rain came out, I only saw it in a store like one time. Then again, I only went to a game store like one time that entire month, so who knows.
Heavy Rain, we're going to sell it for 1 month, and if it doesn't reach platinum, we are going to stop selling it. We're going to help the marketing by reselling Indigo Prophecy with the main character being Daniel Craig.
I don't think... Do games go platinum? I don't think that's how the games industry works.
BioShock, platinum hits.
Oh yeah, that's right. I don't think that's actually awarded, though. I think a game company can just say, hey, will you sell our game as a platinum hits game? Yeah, sure, why not? We need another way to wring out $60 per box on this one game. Although, at least with some new versions of games, when they go gold or platinum or purple, it's usually the version of it that comes with DLC or something like that.
Yeah.
But since this is one of those podcasts where we've been playing games, they're not really that new. We're not going to talk about the nostalgia thing just yet. We have some games of the present era, sort of. To be fair, the Orange Box isn't present era at all.
No, what, 3 years ago?
The Orange Box... Well, I'm saying the Orange Box itself was released like 3 years ago. But more specifically, all of the games that are part of the Orange Box were released like 2 years before that.
Fair enough.
Because I played Half-Life 2 on the Xbox, the first Xbox. Played it and beat it. Pretty good game. What?
Nothing. I'm lying down here, looking at the N64, having Goemon staring at me. I have not picked that back up in what's been forever.
Mystical Ninja starring Goemon? Yep. That's a fantastic game.
I know.
I don't even know why I like that game so much. I think I liked it because it was... That game came out when you could rent N64 games from a Blockbuster. Because that's how I played it in the first place. And I remember getting stuck at the point where you have to turn into... Where you have to make the girl swim up a waterfall to turn into a mermaid. Because when I was six, I could not mash the buttons fast enough in order to get her up that waterfall.
You're a sad, sad man.
Maybe. Maybe I was just six and had really slow thumbs. I just couldn't do it. I remember there was like a toy somewhere in the house that was like, if you pushed a button, it made this toy drill go up and down. I tried to use that to mash the button faster. It didn't work. It was still too slow. And then an executive from Nintendo's hanging outside my room going, yes, our games are impervious to your tiny drill, child.
That's your Garo Miyamoto standing there.
I'd like to think that the CEO of Nintendo is not one for spying on children. Unless it was Mr. Children.
Wait, who?
Mr. Children is like a Japanese lounge singer, I guess. It's either a one performer who is a lounge singer or a whole band. But his name, his stage name, or their group name is Mr. Children. Not exactly the upper echelons of Japanese band name technology, when there's stuff out there like Porno Graffiti and Maximum the Hormone. Not that those names make any more sense, but... I mean, Porno Graffiti makes kind of sense. Sexy sense.
Just like Lena?
That's a different podcast that will be coming out on Wednesday or possibly Thursday, depending on how long it takes me to get the editing done.
A different podcast with a different host at a different time.
That's right. For now, as the format for this aspect, the video game podcast, is going to be when we don't know what to talk about and we have a bunch of newer, as in the present generation of games, not necessarily, you know, the hot stuff. We're probably just going to sit around and talk about a bunch of games that fall into the same general category. This week, we're going to talk about a mashup of first-person shooters. Next week, I'm going to buy Lost Odyssey and Final Fantasy XIII and Blue Dragon, and we'll talk about JRPGs. Doesn't that sound fun?
You do realize the only one I'm going to play is Blue Dragon, right?
Oh no, you're playing Final Fantasy.
No, I'm
13.
Not. No way. I'm backing out of that one.
Fine, I'll play Final Fantasy 13, but you have to watch. And you have to hold the controller and push the buttons.
All you have to do is tell me what button to press at the time that they need to be pressed.
Yeah, that sounds extremely efficient, doesn't it?
Press X. Press it again.
Press X.
Do quarter circle
press
forward.
X. Quarter circle forward punch. This isn't Street Fighter. It's not. Why aren't we playing Street Fighter?
We talked about that.
We could, I said it before, we could probably strain a whole series of podcasts out about Street Fighter if we really wanted to.
If I really wanted to, I could do an entire podcast on Guile!
You'd have to dedicate at least 5 minutes to Charlie.
I'd have to dedicate 20 seconds to explain that Guile is trying to get revenge because Charlie was killed by M. Bison.
Even though, according to what... This is one of those weird things. I think Capcom is banking on the fact that nobody pays attention to the Street Fighter storyline because you hear really bizarre things. Like, Charlie wasn't actually killed by M. Bison. He was shot by a helicopter and fell down a waterfall.
No, that happened.
I know that
happened.
But M.
Bison was the one that bought Charlie's...
He was the one piloting the helicopter?
No, he was right in front of him, but the helicopter was under his control because he bought out Charlie's backup, who came in a helicopter and then shot down Charlie.
I prefer the idea that Bison...
Black Charlie down. Black Charlie down.
The M. Bison are coming in. Quick, man the guns. The sonic boom guns? Yes. We don't have any other guns. It's just Guile and Charlie sitting behind some sandbags doing sonic boom over and over again. We can't do it that fast. We have to charge back for 3 seconds. You fool! The M. Bisons are getting closer. And then Chun-Li has to perform a really terrible operation where she reaches up into Ryu's leg. He's like, no, I'll never be able to do Hurricane Kick again. And Ken's sitting there, gently stroking his cheek. You'll be able to, buddy. I'll help you through rehab. So stupid. Like I said at the beginning, we went on vacation, and we went to a shopping district that had some alternative video stores. I still can't find some movies that I'd like to be able to get that are foreign movies. But we also went to, technically 3 secondhand media stores, because we went to The Great Escape, even though it was sort of the mediocre escape. And it wasn't really an escape. I wanted to escape from that place. Oh, yeah.
Burn!
It was probably because it was like, our Great Escape, the one out in the city, is like twice the size of that one. And the Great Escape that is out just beyond the other side of the city is like 3 times the size of that one.
Okay, that one I've never been to.
Oh, we should totally go there. It's near McKay's.
It is?
Yeah, it's like down the road on the other side of Charlotte.
Wow, how did I miss that one?
We had never have a reason to go down there unless Dad's going to look for new places to get his ears pierced or something.
He needs to buy another copy of Secret Wars.
he owns like the whole first Secret Wars, and then doesn't he have like the first 2 editions of the Secret Wars 2? Secret Wars-er?
Secret-er Wars.
Secret-er Wars.
Last time, we let the president know. This time, we only let the villains know.
Nice.
And then there's a third one, Secret is War. The villains don't even know we're having a secret war.
Spider-Man just swings in and punches Kingpin in the face. He's like, dude, I was just eating a waffle. I know what you were doing. I'm fighting the crime of Kingpin versus the circulatory system of Kingpin. Come on, Kingpin. You're 5 feet tall and like 700 pounds. I don't know, even know how you walk.
This is why I carry a cane. With a gun!
That was the reason Superman had to be immune to bullets, because if he wasn't immune to bullets, people with guns would always kill him. I don't honestly know how most superheroes get away with that one. Hey, it's Spider-Man! Oh, I shot him. Nah, it's dead, Spider-Man.
Well, he's a spider. It's hard to shoot a spider with a gun.
Well, I mean, I know he has Spidey sense, but still, if you shoot everywhere, he's not going to be... If you fill everywhere he could possibly go with bullets, it doesn't matter if he sees the bullets coming. They're still going to hit him.
Get the Resident Evil 5 Gatling gun.
Yeah, that's what you do. Chris Redfield versus Spider-Man. Hey, that could actually happen. I forgot about that.
All we need is Bohemian Rhapsody, and then we're set.
We're almost halfway through this podcast already, and this is not a podcast about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Why not?
Because that would take us forever. If we start, we'll do JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. We'll do, like, a special third part of the week podcast where it's you and me talking about really long-ass shit.
But really good.
Well, I mean, like, we could do a whole episode of a podcast just on part one of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Yeah.
I haven't even read part six. We might be able to get multiple podcasts out of the later parts.
Part four, it would say, is two. Part five, I know a general summary of it, so one, probably.
No. We could talk about part five for, like, at least two.
Yeah.
Because I could spend an entire podcast just talking about Giorno's hair.
The windpipes. He looks like he's keeping three pipes and then wrapping his hair around them.
Exactly. Well, that's the other thing about it, is we could get a special podcast in the JoJo's universe just by having a podcast dedicated to the ultimate hair battle, Josuke versus Giorno.
we have a bunch of brackets. We take a bunch of anime series. Brackets are divided up in that way. We've got the JoJo's bracket, the Yu-Gi-Oh! Bracket, the other JoJo's bracket.
Yeah, I know. Each part could be its own bracket, because Jotaro, Joseph, and Jonathan don't all have that much crazy hair, but Abdul's hair looks like somebody zoomed in on a picture of a broom and then stuck it to the top of his head.
Abdul versus Enraged Dio.
Abdul versus Kakyoin, because Kakyoin, the shape of Kakyoin's hair is normal, but his hair is pink.
Yeah.
It looks like somebody blew bubblegum into his hair, and he's like, I'm not washing this shit out. I'm just going to comb it into my new hair. I'll just make the rest of my hair pink, and no one will ever know.
Hey, Kakyoin. I thought you were brunette.
No. That was an optical illusion.
I've made Hierophant Green constantly have a emerald in front of your face so that the light reflected in such a way that my hair was brown.
But wait a minute. Pink plus green does not equal brown. He just stares at him for a second. Emerald splash, and the guy turns into Swiss cheese.
And it's a girl. Well, we know where that's going.
It's so gross. This would be even worse if I watched it in reverse. Oh, I'm right. So anyway, we're up north, and we go to these secondhand stores, and we got out of it with pretty good, because we spent, I think, between the two of us, like $120, and we got Spriggan, FLCL, the whole of FLCL, which, for those of you who remember back when that show came out, it was, I think, $30 a DVD, and you got two episodes. I guess because ADV wanted to teach all of us Americans what it's like to buy anime DVDs in Japan. I got the entirety of Bubblegum Crisis Tokyo 2040, which makes me happy. We got Bioshock for the 360, Platinum Edition, and you picked up Assassin's Creed, too, while I wasn't looking. I think Mary Beth picked up GoldenEye for the N64, something else for a different system, and Ninja Gaiden for the NES.
Chrono Cross.
Oh, that's right. She picked up Chrono Cross. Yay.
I do.
I want to play that. You do?
I don't know why, but I do.
I do, too, just because I've never played it, and I'm kind of curious what it's like.
I want to play it, play Vagrant Story, and say, hey, these were alike.
See, this is one of those things. I want to play Chrono Cross just for the sake of the... Wait, you want to play Vagrant Story? We have Vagrant Story. It's in the basement.
You do?
Yeah, it's downstairs. It's really... It's not bad, but once you get to the midpoint, it gets unbearably difficult. Like, there's this massive difficulty jump for no reason. That or by the halfway point, you're supposed to have learned some sort of special trick that allows you to hurt bosses and regular enemies more. But I was able to just get it by, I hit you. Okay, now I'm in the corner. Okay, I hit you again.
Back in the corner, recharge your beam katana.
That would be awesome.
You always have to get in the dark corner, because then nobody knows what you're doing. You could be recharging your beam katana, or you could be getting the little, I think you know where this is going.
But the beam katana lights up when you charge it. Wouldn't it just light up the, the dark corner that you're sitting in?
You'd have to trick
everybody. Not only do I have a beam katana, I have a laser penis. Why do you even use the beam katana then?
Because people would take pictures of me, and then I would be in pornography.
Because I need to keep my ability to dual wield a secret. And then Travis gets the beam katana that is the dual wielding one. It's like, now I've learned the mystical ability of triple wield.
No. He keeps the laser penis a secret because then women won't know that the minute he starts having sex with her, they will be dead.
Considering the way the rest of the No More Heroes universe goes, I would just consider that normal. Maybe Travis doesn't know. Maybe he has sex with a woman and she just gets cut in half. He's like, wow. I mean, I like having sex, but I really hate cleaning up the mess after the fact.
It's always happened when I use my Travis beam.
This always happens when I use my Jotaro punch.
As always,
you guys turn into like a blood fountain, and Travis walks up from inside of the exploded oil tanker, puts his hand on Jotaro's shoulder. I know what you mean, man. But Jotaro accidentally snaps and punches Travis in the face with Star Platinum into a building that, since they're in Cairo, he probably landed in, like, Australia.
Yachi, no!
Considering the... Yahtzee. If Yahtzee were to beat Travis touchdown, like I did that one time, he would probably... I didn't tell you that?
No.
When I was at school, like, two semesters ago, I saw a guy who looked exactly like Travis touchdown without a jacket on. It was really, really creepy. If he had been walking next to some blonde chick with an accent, I might have had to have... I don't even know how I would have reacted.
Quick, call Suda 51. We need to get a lawsuit in on this one.
Wait, a lawsuit in on Suda 51 or a lawsuit in on that guy and the girl for accidentally dressing like those characters?
Well, I'm going to be the lawyer on Suda 51's side, and you're going to be the lawyer on that guy and girl's side. And whoever wins the turnabout will get no money, will not be thanked. Okay, he'll be thanked. And then they'll have a party in which the lawyer will be paying for everyone.
Of course. Do I get to wear a red suit and a cravat?
Yeah.
Nice. Will you also be wearing a red suit and a cravat?
No, I will be wearing a blue suit and a red tie.
Aw, I was hoping it would be Edgeworth versus Edgeworth. Although, in order for us to know which one is which, you'd have to be, like, green Edgeworth.
I'll be Edgeworth with pink hair.
Objection, Your Honor. What's your objection, Miles Edgeworth? Emerald Splash! Bam!
Judge Dive, what do we do now? We don't know.
Now I fired wrong. I was supposed to hit the other Edgeworth. I'd have just blocked it with my stand. Standy.
Oh, blocked it with my stand. Briefcase.
No, because all of the stands later on the series are named after alternative or heavy rock bands. Edgeworth would have named his after, like, a classical band or, like, a classical music composer. It's like, behold my stand, Beethoven Magenta. It has the power to freeze minds. What does that even mean? Beethoven Magenta. The guy gets really terrible brain freeze. Oh, God, this hurts really bad.
No, I can't concentrate.
It's not really incapacitating me, but it's super annoying.
How do I raise an objection when I'm in so much pain?
Goto would be immune to it because of all the coffee he drinks.
If he protects me, that is why I learned that there is only one way to defeat a brain-freezing stand, and that is to burn it
with coffee!
Coffee.
That's what they didn't tell you. It was Goto Abdul Mohammed. That would be fantastic.
I'd love it.
I love when this sort of thing happens, when we're able to somehow or other accidentally make two things connected that they're still not really that connected, but it's fun to think that they are.
Well,
I don't even know what Phoenix's stand would be. Abdul dies, he just steals Magician's Red. It just fits my name so well, I couldn't help it. This has had nothing at all to do with what we were going to actually talk about.
Wait, we had a plan?
Not really. We've sort of talked in general about video games, and we're 24 minutes in. I mean, I had sort of wanted us to focus on first-person shooters that we've played semi-recently, which would have been Half-Life 2 up through Episode 2, because there will never be an Episode 3. I don't care. I don't care what Valve says. Half-Life 2 Episode 2 was the end of it. They go into space. The actual thing was that they were going to have the story follow the garden gnome you get that achievement for, but they couldn't figure out an effective way to write it.
You couldn't find out a way to make the garden gnome hold a gun.
They just taped the gun to its face.
The trigger is near the pointy hat.
Yeah, exactly. The only way it can fire is if something it needs to shoot knocks it over and accidentally fires it into its face. Oh no, Jeff! Oh, he died the way he lived, accidentally knocking over garden gnomes that have guns taped to them. Why do we have those?
Gordon Freeman, you are a kleptomaniac freak. Stop stealing my garden gnomes and my guns.
And taping. That sounds like a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure villain motivation.
I want to steal all the garden gnomes, then I want to steal all the guns, and then I'm going to combine them with tape. No! Wait, Johnny Joestar pops up. I was like, no! Then if garden gnomes can fire bullets, then what are my fingernail bullets going to be useful for?
Johnny, the point of your fingernail bullets is the ability to make a hole in anything that you can reach through.
But I like to use them as bullets. I like to pretend my hand is a gun, even though it really is a gun.
That's what's weird about it. I read the description of I don't even remember what his stand is called. All I remember is that he's only able to use it after Jesus tells him to. Is that he gains the ability to fire his fingernails like bullets, but aren't they still just fingernails?
Well, they're spinning really, really fast. They're spinning faster than the Tundin engine.
Behold the power of the Tundin engine. Oh no, I fired this while you were standing across the screen because I'm an idiot.
Sonic boom.
That's the best thing about that Ultra. I don't know what it was about the second Ultras, but they gave Seth such a terrible one. I love it when he uses it because I'm almost always on the ground. And even if you're up next to him and it does hit you, you can block the whole thing. And he has that really, really long recovery time, so you can just immediately combo into your own Ultra.
Yep.
That's, the prime time to pull off your Ultra. Although, admittedly, I did get a really good one against Dudley when I was playing Ibuki because he used Rolling Thunder. And right as he ended it, I pulled off my own Ultra. I was happy with it.
Yeah. Remember that time I was playing as Vega?
You played as Vega, one time. But that was a... You did pretty well as him. You do well with charge characters.
I'm crazy that way. Balrog, I must play as you.
I'd like to see you play as Balrog. That would be interesting.
I've never even seen him fight in Super Street Fighter 4.
You have? I guess there are a lot of characters that I haven't seen fight either.
I've never fought Goten.
Goken?
Goten.
Godo? I've never fought Godo.
Come on, Godo.
Coffee throw. Coffee. Just sit there and spam coffee throw, and then I get a KO.
Well, I'm using 50% of his move. The only other move he has is coffee drink. Did you only ever use that when you're being attacked by Edgeworth?
I did like that. I did like the fact that that argument. You're only using Sonic Boom. I'm using 50% of Guile's moves over here. Sonic Boom! Sonic Boom! Sonic
Boom.
Hurricane! Shoot! It's a good thing that doesn't go anywhere. I might actually be in trouble.
Sonic Hurricane. You know, just bring a hurricane out here.
I kind of wish it almost...
You just got brought into the ocean by a hurricane. A Sonic Hurricane.
When you say it like that, I just picture a hurricane that a bunch of... stealth bomber jets accidentally flew into.
I thought you were going to say a hurricane made out of the lost logs while you're playing Sonic. And in the middle of it, there's a Sega logo.
Sega, why? We would have bought Sonic Colors. No, you weren't. None of you were going to buy it. We might as well just destroy everything. None of you bought Yakuza either. We're sorry. Then you get swallowed by a hurricane, and you find... Wasn't there a Sonic game that had a Navi-like exposition fairy character?
Tails?
Yeah, Tails, that one.
Every Sonic game that had Tails in him?
Well, I mean, Tails was sort of like that once they got to the 3D Sonic games, because he got a voice actor.
Like, hey, here is the game Sonic. You run. What, you don't know what running is?
Push the forward button.
You don't...
Continue pushing the forward button. If there's a pit, push the A button.
You don't know what the A button is?
Considering Nintendo's track record for explaining everything to you the way they do now, maybe that's not that big a stretch.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that every video game has to have that little outline where they tell you exactly what the default controller button maps is, but Nintendo's going to the point now where they're like, this is a jump. This is the point in which Mario uses his legs in order to propel himself higher into the air.
Now, if you hit jump, the moment you land back on the ground, he will use his legs to propel himself even higher up in the air.
This would be known as a double jump. At least in the Mario sense. Not in that stupid Devil May Cry sense where they can jump twice in the air. That's stupid. We're Nintendo buyer games. I kind of almost want to... Now that we have some spare cash laying around, I kind of want to go back and mine all of the games from the most recent generation that we never got the chance to play before we had the money to actually pay for them. I know that this is not a good idea because we already have Bayonetta, but I almost sort of want to go back and play Devil May Cry 4.
Why?
I've always secretly wanted to play a board game starring Dante. It's been my lifelong dream, and video games have finally made it possible.
No, no, you just have to get the Dante suit and then play Risk. Borrow it from Proton John.
Wait, he was dressed as Dante? I thought he was dressed as Rock from King of Fighters.
What? No!
Fatal Fury. He was dressed as Dante?
Yeah!
He looked like Rock.
He was Dante with the... Wait, with the white hair?
I thought it was green.
What?
Maybe it was just a really bad camera. I thought it was green hair and a short red jacket, so I'm like, Rock from Fatal Fury, hi.
No, he'd be dressed as Terry Bogard.
But he had green hair and a red jacket. Terry has blonde hair and a bomber jacket.
That is also red.
Besides, you can't just dress up as Terry Bogard. You have to say all of your stuff in hilarious English. And you can only say phrases that Terry Bogard himself actually says.
Burn Knuckle. So, Burn Knuckle, Are You Okay, Buster Wolf, and...
Crack Shoot, Power Geyser, Rising...
I bet Power Geyser.
Sorry, Power Geyser. But you have to say them all in their hilarious English, so you can't just say Crack Shoot. You have to say Crack Shoot. And you can't just say, you can't say Buster Wolf. You have to say Busta Wolf. Yeah. And you have to scream it. Everything you say, you have to scream. Oh, and Power Dunk. Don't forget about Power Dunk.
Power Dunk?
I don't even remember how you...
I really wish a Power Dunk with, he materialized... He
uses his key to make a basketball.
No. He rolls his hat into a little ball, starts dribbling a little, and then throws it at you. It's not even a dunk, it's just a throw. That was a hat.
But it's still a hat, so it doesn't do any damage. It just sort of poofs on their face.
So because he lost his hat, he now has only 50% of his defense.
Yeah, he takes double damage. Terry Bogard, I didn't know you were secretly Mario. I'm sorry, I couldn't help it. I had to walk in front of the snowman. Go back in that level. Jump back into that painting and become a better character, you. Oh, we've been recording for 35 minutes. You want to go ahead and stop?
Before that, there is something I want to say. Hot pants.
Hot pants? Hot pants. And her stand.
Her stick.
Silly string.
I told you, body parts of people. Giorno, keep making hands for me. You have to start using dead people.
Wait a minute. Why do I need to make hands out of the dead people? Why don't you just use the dead people?
Freshness?
Foam to the eye. Because that's the way her stand works. When she sprays... the skin on other people, it can mold and become part of their skin, so she can use it to heal wounds, superficial wounds, by like, you know, it's a cut, you spray on the cut, and it heals you up. She sprays you in the eyes, and your eyes shut forever. You just have this big lump of flesh where they used to be.
But she's fighting the guy with the water stand.
Useless!
I was already blind.
Exactly. All right. We'll go ahead and do the sync point. This podcast was sort of about video games. We talked about a lot of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, so on the count of three, we'll both say Aura.
Wait. Before that, everybody, all 12 people that might be listening to this, congratulations, you have to see a preview.
Oh, yes. There's a lot more JoJo's to come. All right.
A lot.
On three. Okay, so on three, Aura. Ready? One, two, three. That counts. Aura. All right, let's stop.
Okay.